This Janet Mufford Today podcast is brought to you by Trinity Debt Management, a nonprofit organization that helps people struggling with credit card debt. Their number is 800-793-8752. That's 800-793-8752 or trinitycredit.org.
This is Janet Mufford Today.
Our confidence is in Christ alone.
Are we going to stand with God come what may?
If the Word of God says it, I believe it.
And that's the way it is.
And now, here is Janet Mufford.
Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us again. Well, the Justice Department is taking a rare step. They're going to be asking the Supreme Court to overturn a judge's ruling and allow the Trump administration to dismantle DACA. This is via the Washington Post. Kind of an interesting thing to do, but I can't really blame them because otherwise they would have to deal with the Ninth Circuit. And we know the Ninth Circuit never goes the way of a Republican. So the Trump administration says it has appealed the judge's injunction. This was William Alsup in San Francisco, the district judge last week, who issued that temporary injunction halting plans to end DACA. While this whole lawsuit challenging the decision on DACA and ending DACA is pending, the Justice Department will also petition the Supreme Court later this week to intervene in the case, an unusual action that would allow the government to bypass the Ninth Circuit altogether in its bid to phase out this DACA program starting in March. So I'm glad to see this. I think we need to get a definitive ruling on this. Hopefully the Supreme Court will go the right way. I can't imagine even the most hardcore progressive going, well, yes, I can. I really can't say that because anything is possible these days. But wasn't it 23 times that former President Obama said that he did not have the authority to do DACA? Basically, that's what he said. He didn't have the authority to supersede Congress and unilaterally enact any sort of legislation that would affect immigration. You had to do it through Congress. Well, you couldn't get it done through Congress. That comprehensive immigration reform that was so sought by the progressives didn't happen. And so, oh, by the way, I'm going to do it unilaterally. I think I'll take this executive order opportunity and just give all these people the opportunity to stay here, even though they're here illegally. But this is what the progressives do. And the memo that came out just a few days ago that was reminding everybody what is really going on here needs to be kept in mind. And that is the fact that you had Jennifer Palmieri, formerly with the Clinton campaign, talking about how if you want to keep a permanent electoral majority, you're going to have to do DACA. That's what it's all about. And so anytime you turn on the TV and you see tears and moaning and wailing and screaming and protesting and fist throwing, you'll know what it really is about is making sure that the progressives have a permanent power base over the American people. So let's go to a story that's been getting that sort of play. It's involving a man who was deported back to Mexico. You probably saw this story after 30 years in the United States. His name is Jorge Garcia, a 39-year-old landscaper and father of two. He came here when he was very young, and now he's been deported. And Chris Cuomo over at CNN just can't take it. Listen to cut one.
This is a father saying goodbye to his wife and two teenage children. His name is Jorge Garcia. He was brought to the United States by his parents when he was 10 years old. Today, after living and working here for 30 years, Jorge Garcia was deported to Mexico. His wife, Cindy, says he has no criminal record, he has paid his taxes, and that he is a good man. Cindy Garcia was born here. She's a citizen. She says they tried to do the right thing. Their lawyer filed the wrong paperwork. This is a story you hear so often about people getting caught up in the system, and they're on the wrong track, and it's deportation, and it's fighting for delays. And after 30 years of doing everything right, except for Jorge being born a little later, if Jorge were a year younger, he would qualify as a dreamer.
Okay, but again, you can't be a dreamer, and that is just a classification they like to throw about all of these illegal aliens who are here and came here because their parents came here illegally. It's not constitutional, Chris Cuomo, so let's talk about that a little more and a little less about the sobbing in the airport. Look, I'm not trying to do anything to make this sound like, yay, spectacular, a family is broken up. Because it is sad, obviously, if you have to have one parent leaving and the wife is left behind, the kids are left behind, it is really sad. The question is, whose fault is it? is it the American people's fault? Is it Donald Trump's fault? Is it the Justice Department's fault? Or is it the fault of Barack Obama, who issued DACA unconstitutionally, knowing that the next president could actually undo it? That's what the progressives don't want to get at. Whose fault is it? He'd been in the country for 30 years. Now, granted, when he was a child between the ages of, 10 and 18? No, he's not going to be able to do anything about his status. But what about after that? The lawyer filed the wrong paperwork. For 21 years, the lawyer filed the wrong paperwork? I don't know. So then Chris Cuomo goes full-on tearjerker. Listen to cut two.
And after getting extensions under the Obama administration, the new administration, under Trump's order, is cracking down. So that's what happened this morning. On the day that we celebrate Martin Luther King, this man had to leave his family. The story about it has been retweeted more than 40,000 times.
Again, so what? I mean, I'm not saying that there's no interest in the story. There's great interest in the story. But why is that part of the news report? Because he's trying to do a number on you. This evil Trump administration doing this to Jorge Garcia, who's a really hard worker and loves his family. Well, as Hot Air points out, he'd already been identified by immigration officials back in 2009 and scheduled for deportation. But under the Obama guidelines, his case was essentially swept under the rug. So now he's been sent back to Mexico. He was already on the list. So it couldn't have been a complete surprise. Now, Cuomo interviewed Jorge's wife, Cindy. Listen to this cut. This is cut three.
What do you tell your kids?
I tell them to be strong. I tell them we're going to get through this. We're not the only family that's out there. It affects 11 million other people. But at least I can come forward and tell my story because I am a U.S. citizen and I do not have to hide in any shadows.
Okay, but didn't she just make the point brilliantly? Maybe without meaning to. Right. You're here and you're a U.S. citizen, so you don't have to live in the shadows. This is the point. Come here legally. In her case, she was born here. But if you come here legally and you get in line and you do it properly, as so many people from around the world have done, then you don't have a problem of deportation. Now, I want you to listen in this clip, not just to the answers of Jorge's wife, Cindy, but particularly to the questions that Chris Cuomo poses. And tell me if you think this is solid journalism. Listen to cut four.
What are you telling yourself about this that'll make it okay?
Just to be strong that it is our law and I have to respect it because I am a U.S. citizen and I do want ICE to protect our borders because I do not want terrorists to enter. But at the same time, it devastates me because each individual case needs to be looked at separately, not as a group.
We saw the footage of you guys saying goodbye at the Detroit airport. What was the last thing you said to your husband?
I love you and I'm going to miss you.
Do you think you'll be able to find a way through this? What do you say to President Trump?
He needs to fix this broken immigration system and find a right way to citizenship.
What do you want him to know about your husband?
That he's not a criminal. Yes, he was brought here at 10 years old. And yes, he entered the country illegally, but he has no criminal record. And his case needs to be looked at individually because he deserves to be here in a country that he's known, not Mexico.
Okay, my head's just spinning there. She admits she doesn't want terrorists to come here. She wants the law to be respected and she wants the borders to be respected. But as a wife, she's saying, but he's not a criminal. Sure, he was here illegally, but he's not a criminal. Well, you're here illegally. That's why you're deported. And how come Chris Cuomo, instead of tossing softball questions to her, like, what are you telling yourself that will make this okay? And what was the last thing you said to your husband? And will you find a way through this? I got a better idea, Chris. Why don't you pose the question to Cindy? Why didn't your husband do something to make sure that he was here legally? Perhaps that might have involved going back to Mexico and trying to re-enter legally. I don't know all the different maneuvers that could have taken place. But as Hot Air points out, the problem is that no matter how sympathetic you may feel toward Jorge Garcia, his is the sort of story that plays out every day across the country. He was brought here as a child, but after becoming an adult, he obviously knew that he was in the country illegally. And at that point, he could have begun the process of attempting to gain legal citizenship as a responsible adult, even if that meant going back to Mexico first. And instead, he chose to stay here illegally and get married and start a family, knowing that he could be detained and deported at any moment. Whose fault is this exactly? You don't want to talk about that. You don't want to talk about whose fault is it exactly, because that might get the attention away from a sympathetic person and on to the issue of the law and the Constitution. And that's not where progressives want it to be. You're listening to Janet Mefford Today. We'll be coming back right after this. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Kirk Cameron, and I am honored to be partnering with the Ministry of Preborn to help moms choose life.
Actor Kirk Cameron supports Preborn.
My four oldest children were adopted. That is because of caring and compassionate people who help those young mothers choose life. My wife is an adopted child, and her birth mother chose life for her. If it weren't for those caring individuals that help those young moms value the sacredness of life, I wouldn't have my wife, I wouldn't have my four adopted children, and the two natural-born children that we have wouldn't exist either. My whole family is here because of people that are involved with ministries like Preborn.
Help moms choose life with Preborn. Your gift of $28 provides an abortion-minded mother a potentially life-saving ultrasound. $140 could save five babies. You can give now at 855-601-BABY. That's 855-601-2229 or visit preborn.com. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? As a Christian, are you looking for health care that doesn't violate your morals and convictions? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded Christians who work together to pay for their medical costs. It allows you to decide how, when, and where you will access health care so you can make the best choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is how healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org, and regain control over your healthcare costs. That number again, 855-585-4237 or libertyhealthshare.org. Together, we're changing healthcare for good. Welcome back to Janet Mefford Today. The March for Life is coming up Friday, but which pro-life bill will the House of Representatives take up that day? Will it be the Heartbeat Protection Act, which would prohibit aborting babies whose hearts can be detected? Or will it be the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which would ban infanticide against babies who survive botched abortions? While Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy has announced his plan to choose the latter measure, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, but my next guest notes that that legislation will do nothing to prevent abortion at all. So we're going to get some thoughts on it now from Janet Porter, who is the architect of the Heartbeat Protection Act and president of Faith to Action. Janet, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Janet. Glad to be here.
Well, the House wants to pass a pro-life measure, as I understand it, on the day of the March for Life, which I commend them for. Why do you think it's important that it be the Heartbeat Protection Act over the Born Alive Act?
Well, let's take a look at the facts right now. We have been marching to end abortion for 45 years, and we have had this incremental approach where we protect a millimeter at a time. And we wonder, 45 years later, why we are still committing nearly a million abortions every year with a body count of 60 million children. The fact of the matter is that approach of passing fake bills that do nothing or nearly nothing has gotten us, frankly, nowhere or very, 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 I mean, 45 years of this, we should be doing a whole lot better than we are right now. So they want to pass incremental bills? Okay, we gave them an incremental bill. It's a bill that will protect every child whose beating heart can be heard. The heartbeat bill, the federal heartbeat bill is H.R. 490, and it merely says if a heartbeat's detected, the baby's protected. In other words, hey, everybody, recognize the same indicator of life, universally recognized across the board for every other human being. Let's recognize it for the very young. And it would save nearly a million children every year, which is the population of Atlanta every year twice. So you can actually save nearly every child facing abortion, or you can pass a bill that won't prevent a single abortion. Guess which one I'm pushing for? I'm pushing for the one that's going to recognize this child's beating heart so that instead of a beating heart, abortion stopping a beating heart will stop abortion. They have a choice before them. And what I'm saying is it's time they choose life. It's time they do what we sent them there to do. They've been running on pro-life promises for more than four decades now, and it's time we do that. It's time we do more than march to end abortion and talk about it. And that's why we're pushing for people not only to call on House leadership, like Speaker Ryan, like Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, but we're asking people to send them all faxes. Why? Because faxes are delivered right to their desk. Unlike the mail that we send through the Postal Service that goes through screening processes and staff, I'm told from the inside that the fax machine spits out a fax and it's delivered right to the representative on their desk. And that's why we've created a system so you can send seven free faxes to leadership and the key people, like the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Bob Goodlatte, to Congressman Chris Smith, who's the chairman of the Pro-Life Caucus, who is still not co-sponsor this bill like 170 of his colleagues. But we are making it so you go to F2A.org, Faith 2 Action with the number 2, and you can click a button. It's that easy. In less than 10 seconds, you fill in your name, your address, boom, and you can fax not only the leadership, you can click another button, and for the cost of the fax, you can send it to 476 people at once. So we've made it as easy as we can. But I'll tell you what, Janet, I don't know about you. I'm tired of talking about abortion. I'm sick of marching about it. Yeah. We need it to end. 45 years into this, we just need the killing to end. And the heartbeat bill will take us farther than any other bill so far toward that goal.
Well, you know what really strikes me about this is I can just hear in my head the excuses maybe from some in the House of Representatives who say, well, we'd rather do something a little more incremental because we don't want to jar the American people. But you look at the level of backing for this particular measure, and it has 170 co-sponsors and about 69% support with the American people. You've got an overwhelming majority of Americans who are totally in favor of this legislation. If you've got that level of support with the American people, why not go forward? Why don't you go with the most effective piece of legislation that you can?
Exactly right. And you know, Janet, I've been in the movement 40 years. I counted it up, and oh my goodness, it's been that long since I got started. And 45 for the veterans that have done it from the beginning. But I have never seen, in all of my years, I have never seen a bill that protects this many babies that has this much public support. You know, not only do we find that this bill has more co-sponsors in Congress than any other pro-life bill, 170, but it actually, according to George Barna, the poll that they did last year, found 69%, well, you round that, that's 7 out of 10 in America that favor this bill. But you break it down further, that comes out to 86% of Republicans that favor the heartbeat bill. That would be a nice gift to have if a Republican was facing a primary anytime or any election. But this is the part that shocks everybody, and that is that a majority of Democrats, 55%, favor the heartbeat bill, the most protective incremental bill in existence. And we've got a majority of Democrats in America that favor this bill, as well as 7 out of 10 across the board. It is the time. It is the bill. It's common sense. Everybody knows that if there's a heartbeat, there's life. We've all tested a pulse. We all know that those heart monitors in hospitals are not there for decoration. And none of us, Janet, none of us have been to a funeral of any human being with a beating heart. It just makes sense. And I think that's why so many people support it.
Well, right. Now, do you have any sense of what the mentality is here, why they're going for the Born Alive Act, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, before they go for the Heartbeat Act? What's the sense here?
Well, if you look, LifeSite News did an article, and the way Congressman Steve King, he's the sponsor of this bill, the way he put it, it's really a turf battle. I mean, you've got establishment pro-life groups, and I know personally, and I'm not trying to diss anybody. I'm just going to tell you, I was legislative director of Ohio Right to Life for nearly a decade. And so that was where I was. I got my training in the pro-life movement at Ohio Right to Life. Right. Sadly, though, Ohio Right to Life fought the Ohio heartbeat bill harder than anybody. They actually called for the governor to veto the bill and celebrated when Governor Kasich heartlessly vetoed what was the most protective pro-life law in the country. And we're seeing the same thing happen at the national level. National Right to Life is blocking the bill. They're saying they're not against it, but behind the scenes, they're saying, no, let's do this bill that won't prevent any abortions instead of the bill that will protect almost every child from abortion. And so we're fighting the establishment. We're fighting those who want to keep abortion legal. It's sad, but that's where we are. And I'll just say, if you want abortion to end, We have never had a better opportunity than we do right now. This is the moment. We've got a Republican House, Republican majority in the Senate. We've got a pro-life president who's vowed to put pro-lifers on the Supreme Court. There has never been a better moment to end abortion than right now. I mean, I would have said it would have been sooner, but I'll tell you what, this opportunity that we have, it may not come again, because God gave us a window, the way I see it. He gave us an opportunity in this election. I mean, you know, people may find their fault with the current president. Maybe he's rough around the edges and he says things that are a little out of the ordinary. But I will tell you this. He has vowed to put pro-lifers on the Supreme Court, and God has given us mercy that we have a window of opportunity to bring the killing to an end. And if we don't take this opportunity, Janet, I don't know that this opportunity will ever come again. I mean, they're already talking about the House of Representatives losing their majority and giving the speakership back over to Nancy Pelosi, if you've seen any of the articles lately. Yes. Well, there's one way that I believe that the House can keep their majority, that the Senate can stay in control, and that is if they do what we hired them to do, and they have it within their power. All they have to do is bring the heartbeat bill to a vote and send it over to the Senate. We'll worry about the Senate when it gets to the Senate. But right now, the votes are there. As I mentioned, 170 co-sponsors. Well, we 7 out of 10 in America that want it. But more importantly than anything, this is going to save nearly every child facing abortion. I'll tell you a little secret, is that technology is getting better and better. So even if, let's just say this is the only bill we ever passed, technology is getting better and better, that right now, well, we can hear their heartbeat around 6 to 8 weeks, but you know that heart is beating at 18 days before the mother even knows she's pregnant. And so when our technology improves and we hear that heartbeat earlier and earlier, we can, I believe, protect them all as technology advances with just this bill. But my feeling is this: our goal is to protect from the moment of fertilization. Let's pass this bill, and then let's go back and get the rest. But this is a great first step that will protect nearly every child, and we need to take it. And if you want to be a part, if you want to put your faith to action, then you can go to faith2action.org, click the button. I'll pay for your faxes. They'll go to the speaker. They'll go to the majority leader, the majority whip. We're sending it to the chairman of the committee as well as other members of leadership, the 7 key people that need to see it. And I'll just tell you right now, we launched this a couple of days ago, and we have already sent 11,970 faxes. You know what? I just saw 7 more come in. So it's 11,977 faxes have been sent, and you can do it for free. And if you want to increase your impact, for $15, we cover the cost to send 476 faxes all at once, so that everybody in Congress knows that the people that elected them, we want them to do what we elected them to do, and that is protect human life. And there's no better bill right now with this much support that they can pass by this week, by Friday of this week, when the March for Life takes place, than the heartbeat bill, so that a heartbeat's detected, the baby's protected. That's the message.
Yeah, and I think it would be a really good act of faith as well, Janet, when you consider the frustration of all pro-lifers that I've talked to about the fact that we're still funding Planned Parenthood and we want that done. You know, it's ridiculous. I think if they consider everything that you've already mentioned, the fact that you have so much support, not only among Republicans, but also among Democrats, there's no reason not to go forward with it. And I'm not in favor of, you know, making sure that infanticide against babies who survive botched abortions continues. We should stop that as well. But you're right. I think we need to go for it. We've got a unique opportunity. And I think that would be great if people would get behind this effort. All right. Well, that website again, F2A.org. Check it out. Janet Porter with us. Janet, thanks a lot. We'll be back on Janet Mefford Today right after this. This Janet Mefford Today podcast is brought to you by Trinity Debt Management, a nonprofit organization that helps people struggling with credit card debt. Their number is 800-793-8752. That's 800-793-8752 or trinitycredit.org.
We are back on Janet Mefford today. Well, the lives of preborn babies are on all of our minds this week as we approach the 45th anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision, which legalized abortion on demand. But God is at work in the lives of women in crisis pregnancies and their children, especially through the work of the great ministry Preborn. Now, we here at Janet Mefford today are really excited to partner again with Preborn this year to help save the lives of preborn babies and to help get the gospel of Jesus Christ to their moms. It is a remarkable fact that when expectant moms see their unborn babies through an ultrasound, 80% of them choose life. 80% of them. And that's where Preborn comes in. They make sure that crisis pregnancy centers across the country have ultrasounds and can offer ultrasounds free of charge to those women in crisis pregnancies. Your gift of $28 will provide one free ultrasound to a young woman who needs to choose life. $56 will give two ultrasounds, and $140 will offer five ultrasounds. Free ultrasounds to five women. So we're encouraging you to get involved today by calling 855-601-BABY. That's 855-601-BABY, 855-601-2229. Or there's a banner to click at janetmefford.com. And here to tell us more about this wonderful ministry is Dan Steiner, National Director of Preborn. And so good to have you here. Dan, how are you?
Doing great, Janet. Great to hear your voice. Great to be on the program.
Well, it's great to have you here. I just think about the 45th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, and I can't think of a better way to tackle the abortion problem than getting free ultrasounds to women, especially because you have such a high number of them who will choose life through this method. This is just so effective, and I'm sure this is something that's very much on your mind at this time.
Yeah, there's a lot of flurry and activity, all of which is welcome, about the anniversary, the mourning, if you will, of Roe versus Wade after 45 years being foisted on our society and culture, changing our culture. But if you look at the pro-life movement, it's got really three parts to it. Part number one would be legislation slash education, like National Right to Life Committee. That's a good thing. Doesn't save many lives. Still legal in all 50 states, unfortunately. Politics being the art of compromise as it is, I'm not holding a lot of hope out for that. But we need to keep trying. Protest, the March for Life, is a great expression of community conscience, letting our country know that, hey, you know, not everybody agrees with this, but it doesn't save a lot of lives.
Right.
What does is dealing with a pregnant woman, you know, that's where Preborn comes in. We offer a full suite of activity to the pregnancy centers that we run and partner with. We put the ultrasound machine in. We pay for the nurse to run the ultrasound. We pay for the marketing to get the girl to call the center. And then she comes in and we, you know, she's provided the ultrasound for free. And we give her the gospel of Jesus Christ and she receives eternal life. Baby saved for life and earth. Mother saved for eternity. And that worked last year for 7,912 babies. And that worked for over 8,400 mothers that came to Christ.
Wonderful.
And so this is real people, one life at a time. We had a girl, Janet, that called us a couple days ago. She had fled a abusive situation where she was being regularly sexually abused. She was pregnant by rape. She's looking for an abortion. She's in a different state, our state, thankfully. And she's 17 weeks along, which is 17 weeks is a second trimester baby. She's still wanting to abort this almost full-term baby. Mm-hmm. And yet when she came to that close encounter of the best kind and heard her baby's heartbeat and saw her baby inside of herself on the ultrasound, changed her perspective entirely. It suddenly wasn't about the abuse and the rape. It was about the fact that God had given her a gift,
wow,
her little baby. She chose life.
Oh, praise God. And you have so many stories like that, as you mentioned, the thousands of women who've already been helped through Preborn. How does it work? Just explaining for listeners how it works, as you're talking about working with crisis pregnancy centers throughout America, you provide these ultrasounds, but 100% of the gifts that you receive go right towards saving these babies, right? This is a direct investment in life.
It is. Preborn is unique to the child sponsorship space. Support a kid in a third world country. Part of that goes to Haiti, and part of it goes to, you know, the World Vision, Compassion, whatever, to do their ministry costs. We don't do that. We 100% of your preborn child sponsorship, sponsoring an ultrasound for a preborn child, goes to our centers to do exactly that, provide ultrasounds. And we underwrite our administrative costs. The Lord does so that we're able to give away all the sponsorship, all those ultrasound scans, to do what people give it to us to do.
Yes.
To scan mothers.
That's right.
Free ultrasounds. You know, it's a $300 service. It's a life-changing service. And all that's really easy. They can call #250, Janet, #250, and say keyword baby, or they can call the number you mentioned, which is 855-601-BABY. And our operator's standing by for that tax-deductible as well donation.
That's awesome. I love hearing that. How great would you say the need is right now, Dan? Because I think for a lot of Christians, a lot of listeners who don't necessarily walk into a crisis pregnancy center on any given day, it may just be a mystery. Well, they're out there, they're helping women, but how great is the need? What do people need to understand?
Well, let's take New York. Our center, just our one center in New York, 1,800 women last month walked into the center. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Wow.
And 350,000 unplanned pregnant girls walk into the centers of America every year. These centers are hand-to-mouth, shoestring operations. Some of them don't even have an ultrasound machine.
Wow.
Ones that do, you know, they're struggling financially to be able to provide full services. I was just talking to the only center in the highest abortion neighborhood in the United States, which is Jamaica, New York. It's one of our partner centers. And they're only open like 3 days a week. You know, I need to hire a doctor to be there full time. There's a lot of need out there to, So for every 1,400 pregnancies, for every 1,000 pregnancies in Jamaica, New York, there's 1,400 abortions. They abort more than they birth in that neighborhood. And the center's only open like 3 days a week. So that's just one example, probably the most extreme that. But it's that way across the country. We need a lot of people to come beside us, call #250 and say keyword baby and be part of God's solution. This saves lives. I mean, this isn't hypothetical. This isn't a paper ministry. This isn't feed you tomorrow, be hungry tomorrow. This is a life or death matter, and it does change girls' minds.
And that's what it's all about. Well, I want to remind people your gift of $28 right now will provide one free ultrasound to a young woman, just like Dan described, who needs to choose life. If you can give a gift of $56, that will provide two ultrasounds, and your gift of $140 will provide five ultrasounds. All you need to do is call 855-601-BABY, 855-601-2229, or there's a banner to click at janetmefford.com. Of course, as Dan mentioned, #250 on your cell phone keyword baby is another way that you can give, but please give today. Dan, as we're thinking about the lives of these preborn babies, I know you mentioned what we're really concerned about ultimately is evangelizing their mothers, because it's one thing to save a human life. That's critical, but it's also more critical to think about giving these moms and their children after them, making sure that they have the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, which offers eternal life. How effective is this program at bringing the gospel to these mothers?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, Janet. This is really the driving passion of preborn. So it works like this. If a mother comes in and she does not choose life and the baby is tragically aborted, that's terrible. Breaks God's heart, breaks our heart. But that next moment, that baby is in heaven, scripturally speaking. Aborted babies go to heaven. Now, mother two comes in. She does choose life, but she does not choose Christ. The baby is birthed, lives 80 years, dies as an adult that did not choose Christ, just like her mother didn't choose Christ, and they both end up in eternity without God. That's not the end game. The end game is save the mother, save the child. And preborn is very effective. Our centers lead the nation in the percent of women that come to Christ. Some of our centers lead 52% of the women that walk in, thousands to Christ a year. And so this is really our end game, is to present a relationship with the Chief Executive Officer of Preborn, Jesus Christ.
I love it. Well, call now, 855-601-BABY, 855-601-2229. Your gift of $140 provides five ultrasounds. Call now. You're listening to Janet Mefford Today. We'll be right back.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? As a Christian, are you looking for health care that doesn't violate your morals and convictions? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded Christians who work together to pay for their medical costs. It allows you to decide how, when, and where you will access health care, so you can make the best choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is how healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org, and regain control over your healthcare costs. That number again, 855-585-4237 or libertyhealthshare.org. Together, we're changing healthcare for good. This is Janet Mefford for Trinity Debt Management, a nonprofit Christian organization that helps people get out of debt. Here is John's story.
When our daughter Emma was born, my wife and I took a hard look at our finances for the first time, and we didn't like what we saw. My wife suggested that I call Trinity. Immediately when I spoke with the counselor for the first time, she was very helpful and put us on a plan for success. Right away, we knew we'd called the right place. We just want everyone out there who might be in our situation to know that there's help.
If credit card debt has you down, Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your accounts, put a stop to late fees, and reduce your interest rate by up to 60%. Save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. Trinity provides practical solutions and creates hope for tomorrow. Call Trinity at 1-800-793-8752. That's 1-800-793-8752. 1-800-793-8752. We're back on Janet Mefford today. This headline really takes the cake. Glenn Greenwald's piece at The Intercept. Listen to this headline. Centrist Democrats launch smear campaign against young transgender woman, all to keep an old straight white man in power. What is this story about? Well, it's about Bradley Manning the traitor launching a bid for the Senate. Standing there in this picture in a dress with a necklace and long hair and makeup. This is just amazing to me. This is the most deranged headline I've read in quite a while. Centrist Democrats launch smear campaign against young transgender woman, all to keep an old straight white man in power. Bradley's white also. Just pointing out that fact. But anyway, okay, let's talk about this for a little bit. And let's begin by listening to some of what Bradley Manning has in his ad. I'm not going to call him she. He's a guy. And he has gender dysphoria, obviously, for which he needs help. He needs help on a lot of issues. But in this particular case, it's Bradley. So I'm calling him he, and you can call me and complain or write me letters or write me emails. That's fine. But it's Bradley. Let's listen to what Bradley's ad for Senate says in part. Listen to cut five.
We don't need more or better leaders. We need someone willing to fight. We need to stop asking them to give us our rights. They won't support us. They won't compromise. We need to stop expecting that our systems will somehow fix themselves. We need to actually take the reins of power from them. We need to challenge them at every level. We need to fix this. We don't need them anymore. We can do better.
Okay, hang on just a second. I have a couple of questions about that ad. And it ends with a curse word, by the way, toward the end. I didn't play that for you. You don't need to hear that. We don't need better leaders. What kind of slogan is that? So is it Bradley Manning's intent to come up with a slogan? Forget better leaders. Elect me. Well, I mean, what is that? What is that supposed to be? And then the reference to taking the reins of power from them, it makes it sound like a coup, doesn't it? Take the reins of power from them. They'll never give us our rights. Well, he's talking about, I'm guessing, transgender rights, whatever those are, since we all have the same rights under the Constitution, but some people are more equal than others. I don't know. It's just so completely crazy. And of course you have liberals saying,
It's a smear campaign. If you don't like this traitor running for Senate who's walking around wearing dresses and lipstick, but it's a guy, it's our fault if we don't go for Bradley Manning, a.k.a. Chelsea Manning, for Senate. No, it's a complete outrage that this man is even daring to make the attempt. And I don't think there's any likelihood that he'll get elected, but it's just so in your face. I don't care about anything. I want my rights. I mean, it's the same sort of spirit that he probably exhibited when he turned traitor on his own country. Let's go to this piece over at Front Page Mag about this. Transgender Chelsea Manning was convicted in a 2013 court-martial of 20 counts, including violations of the Espionage Act for illegally leaking more than 700,000 classified government documents to WikiLeaks. Right. So somebody with that kind of background, you definitely want to put them in a very high position in government again. What? Wasn't in a high position earlier, but you want to put that person in a higher position than he was when he was a traitor to his country. Private Bradley Manning received a 35-year sentence, right after which he came out as transgender and demanded that the Army pay for sex change hormone treatment. Former President Obama went one step further. Obama gave Manning a free get-out-of-jail card just days before he ended his term in office, granting clemency to the felon of all but 4 months of his 35-year sentence. He was released from prison last May after serving only 7 years. In his last press conference as president, Obama doubled down on his clemency decision, declaring that, quote, "I feel very comfortable that justice has been served." It's disgraceful. Freed only a few months, Bradley Manning has just announced that he is running as a Democrat for the U.S. Senate in Maryland, challenging the two-term incumbent Senator Ben Cardin in the party's primary. The fact that Manning is a convicted felon does not appear to preclude him from being eligible to run for the U.S. Senate. How is that the case? If Obama were a registered voter in Maryland, he probably would vote for Manning. I think that's a given. Progressives have been fawning all over Manning as a symbol of the liberated transgender and proud supporter of the Antifa movement, who has latched onto virtually every leftist cause, from open borders to free health care for everyone. She is a celebrity gracing the cover of Vogue in a bathing suit last September. Really? I'm glad I missed that one. Samantha Allen wrote in a column appearing in Rolling Stone last December that Manning's emergence from prison brought a ray of digital sunshine into a dreary world. Manning's aesthetic brilliance and social media optimism were both backed up by genuine political convictions, like vocally supporting the J20 defendants, a group of protesters arrested on Inauguration Day, or condemning the white supremacist rally in Charlottesville. Linda Sarsour, you remember the Women's March Islamist, tweeted out her support for Chelsea, a.k.a. Bradley Manning's Senate candidacy, and said this: "If you are cool with Sheriff Arpaio running for Senate in Arizona, but up in arms that Chelsea Manning is running in Maryland, you, my friend, are a hypocrite. Hashtag go Chelsea." Perhaps as a foretaste of what lies ahead in Manning's Senate campaign, he tweeted the following hate-filled expletive against the police. "On January 9th, Law Enforcement Appreciation Day," and I'm not going to repeat what he said, and it's the kind of language leftists who conducted or supported violent anti-police riots in Baltimore in 2015 would love to hear more of. But there are many Americans who rightly believe that Manning should have been required to serve out that 35-year sentence. Many still consider Manning to be a traitor and do not understand why he was acquitted of the most serious charge, aiding the enemy. Nevertheless, Manning was convicted of multiple charges of espionage and other violations of federal law, jeopardizing national security by knowingly abusing his position as an intelligence analyst and releasing hundreds of thousands of sensitive documents that revealed military and diplomatic secrets. So in other words, I'm saying this as an aside, somebody you can completely trust. Highly, highly trust. A great, dedicated public servant, absolutely entering politics out of self-love? No. Out of a selfless love of country. Oh, no. I don't think that that's the case at all. Manning's action caused intelligence to be published, knowing that the information he released would be readily accessible by our enemies. Manning knew exactly what he was doing and the harm his actions could potentially cause, but he didn't care.
The commutation of his sentence by Obama did not serve justice. In instant messenger chat communications with an ex-hacker whom Manning came to trust after Manning had apparently just leaked many sensitive documents to WikiLeaks, he boasted that he had listened and lip-synced to Lady Gaga's telephone while exfiltrating possibly the largest data spillage in American history. The person Manning referred to as a confidant and who was identified by Wired.com as Adrian Lamo ended up reporting Manning to the authorities after he realized the dangers that the leaks posed to national security. But Manning justified his actions by declaring in his messages he couldn't be a spy because spies don't post things up for the world to see. He also denied having any interest in selling his secret document trove to Russia or China because he claimed they belong in the public domain. Yeah, okay, fantastic. Well, let's put this person back in the Senate. In the Senate for the first time. I mean, the audacity. It's just everything with this guy is in your face, in your face, in your face. This person has problems. Big, big problems. Really bad character. Super bad character. Doesn't seem to show any regret for what he did. Doesn't seem to understand what was going on at the time that made it so serious. He sees himself as some kind of a hero. I mean, Daily Wire pointed out that the leaks that he did likely cost the lives of American military personnel, including Army officers, intelligence agents, foreign contacts, and translators. Yeah, put him in the Senate. Fantastic. Not to mention the fact that he wears dresses and makeup and is very obviously mentally tortured in a lot of ways. But as Front Page Mag puts it, even back then, Manning had the political bug, saying, I'd like to insert myself into politics as a technical person with real ideas. And now, instead of serving out his sentence in jail where he belongs, Manning is getting his wish as he runs for the U.S. Senate as a Democrat. In today's Democratic Party, he has found the right home. Think about that for a moment. This is the quality of candidate that some Democrats think is worthy of standing up and cheering for? I think not. In fact, I know not. And it's just a sad day in America where nothing's off limits anymore. Everything's okay. And if you have a problem with this sort of thing, you're the problem. Not so. Hey, thanks a lot for listening. We appreciate your tuning in, as always. JanetMefford.com, our website. We'll see you next time. God bless you and take care.